this morning that, you know, God inhabits the praises of his people. And you want to experience the presence of God, then begin to praise him. Thank him for what he's done for you. Begin to thank him. Amen. You know, that song says to lift up holy hands, and if you're like me, you're like, well, my hands don't feel too holy. But you know, if you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart, he's made you holy. And the scripture said for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. It's like, really, come before God? But that's what we got to realize, is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to worry about it. Just come covered by the blood. And when you do that, you have an audience with him. And so we're so thankful God's provided that for us. Let's sing that song I asked the other day, Your God Alone. Yeah. I don't know if that's the name of it, but I really like that. To me, there's a big focus in this end time, and that is that God becomes more real and more apparent to us, that he's the only one. Service this morning. Go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Let's call this title today a time of testing. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, this is Jesus speaking. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. And then I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. Paul is speaking about how that God came down and spoke on the mountain there in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant and the things that happened there, and gives a contrast to the fact that we have not come to that mountain that burned with fire, but we've come to a different mountain, And he says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. We want to pray. Lord, we just want to tell you it's so wonderful to be in your house this morning, to have the Word of God as our guide, to have the fellowship of your Spirit among us, Lord, and to see that you, in this late hour, with the world just going in different directions, God, you're still the only thing that we can put our trust in. We love you this morning, Lord. We're asking, God, that you just open our hearts up to your Word. God, that you just have your way and that you speak to us. And God, that each one would be able to hear, both physically present and from the internet. We ask, God, that you would touch every heart and enlighten us, Lord. Give us strength for this hour and clarity of vision, Lord. And so we just commit this all in your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The time of testing. We see here in the scriptures where we're reading there that Paul is talking about how that God shook the earth. When God came down on Mount Sinai and he was speaking there, the children of Israel could not stand the sound of God's voice, and they were fearful and said, don't let God speak to us, let a prophet speak to us. And it was fearful. And the scripture said, if you read there in Hebrews 12, it was so fearful that even Moses, God's spokesman, feared. That's how terrible it was. And so Paul is speaking about this. But he says, you know, we haven't come to a physical mountain like that where God came down under the law. And you realize the only thing the law can do is condemn you, because the scripture lets you know that nobody is justified in the law. Nobody can keep the law. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can fulfill those things. And so when you come to God under the old covenant as a sinner, and you come to that mountain that burns with fire, as it were, you come into the presence of this consuming fire of God. You don't want to come there under a legal system, legalism, right? You don't want to come there trying to please God by your do's or by your don'ts, because you'll never make it that way. It's the wrong way to approach God. The way to approach God is to realize, I'm done if I don't have his mercy in my life. And then you approach him through grace and the grace and mercy he's provided. And when you do that, you're coming to a different mountain. You're not coming to the mountain that burns with fire like that. You're still coming to a God who is a consuming fire, but you're not coming under the judgment. You're coming under mercy and grace, where God can now deal with your heart and he can change you and mold you and make you instead of destroying you. And so Paul here is speaking about how that God shook the earth back then. It was a fearful thing, but now he's promised under this new covenant, under the New Testament covenant, where there's grace and there's mercy in the presence of God. He's still a consuming fire, and he's still going to shake. But now this time, not only is he going to shake the earth like he did then, but he's going to shake both heaven and earth. And you know, a prophet told us that, you know, we have heaven as the abode of God and so forth. But he tells us the heaven consists of the Word, and you know, the church is in the presence of the Word. So even the church world is going to be shaken. Even the spiritual realm is going to be shaken. Heaven itself will be shaken. And of course, it would have to be when he was going to cast Satan or Lucifer out of heaven. So God is going to shake both heaven and earth in this situation now. And he said here, we read, that once he does this shaking, to bring it to the place where the only thing left is what cannot be shaken. And I thought it would be good to read that scripture, the first one there in Matthew chapter 24, where he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. And so I would rather, somebody says, well, I don't want to be on earth whenever all this is going on. I'd rather be in heaven. Well, I don't even want to be in heaven. I want to be in the Word, which, again, that sounds like a play on words, because heaven consists of the Word. But you know, the physical heavens and the earth, the stars, the planets, all that, you can't rely on that. It's all going to be shaken. And even the spirit realm is going to be shaken, because the cleansing process that God's going to do is going to clean all physical and spiritual realm, right? We know that. And so Paul is speaking of this here, of this shaking time, that everything's going to be shaken, so that the only thing left will be those things that cannot be shaken. So I would say, if it cannot be shaken, it has to be the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to stand. And I think that, you know, just put the two scriptures together, that's pretty clear to us. So you realize that this shaking is taking place, it is a testing. It is a testing time to see what will stand and what can and cannot stand. You know, when you have something that in order to prove it is going to be what it's supposed to be, you have to test it. And of course, a lot of you know I work in a test laboratory that's what we do, research and development laboratory. And what we do is we test things. Engineers have designed things, we work with them, and they'll design something and send it to us, and guess what we get to do? We get to put this thing through the paces and see whether or not it'll do what it's supposed to do. And many, many times we have to send it back and say, you guys got to do something different because it ain't working. We don't say a motor is supposed to put out a certain amount of horsepower and it don't do it. Or it's supposed to run a certain temperature, below a certain temperature, and it doesn't. Well, we do that. We put it through testing and proven methods to see whether this thing's going to do what it's supposed to do. And the test will prove whether or not it's got the goods or not. Right. So you see here, God's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake all the spiritual doctrines and all the everything physical and spiritual. The whole thing's going to be shaken this time. And the only thing that's going to be left is the things that cannot be shaken. And so we test things just that way at where I work. And in our laboratory, we're actually UL Underwriters Laboratory certified. If you know anything about that, when you go buy something, if you want to make sure it's not going to burn your house down, make sure it's got a UL sticker. My family, you know, my wife, they go out, oh, we got this beautiful lamp. And I'm like, does it have a UL sticker? Because what that means is, Underwriters Laboratory, they have all these standard testing procedures, and when your product has been tested to those standards the way they say, they have proven that this thing's not going to do something it shouldn't do. It's not going to burn your house down or whatever. And once you've done that, they allow you to put the UL sticker on that product, and you can sell it. And so customers are supposed to feel better about it, to know that, hey, this has got a UL sticker, so it's been proven to be safe. Because if you don't go through that testing, you don't know. And I can tell you that when you can build and design something, I've done it myself, and miss something, and be something crop up that you had no idea that would happen, and it would be a major issue. So you got to test. You know, and so God's going to test everything to see what stands. And we know that He's not going to let something in on that other side in that kingdom that's offensive. The scripture tells us that, right?
Right.
He's got borders. He vets those who's going to come through there, because He's not going to let somebody come in and that's going to try and destroy that kingdom, right? So He has it. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And so, but once you go through that testing, like at work, and we do the UL testing, and our laboratory is so well defined that Underwriters Laboratory considers us an extension of their actual lab. And so when we do the testing and we submit it to them, they look at it and they say, they've done it according to our standards, they've done it according to our methods and everything, and they let us put a sticker on, even though we're the ones that did the testing instead of them, we've done it underneath their watchful eye. And so we get to put a sticker, and once that sticker is on there, that declares that it passed the test. And so God's going to do the same thing. He's going to test everything to see what's left standing when it's all over with. And so if you claim to be something, if you're going to claim or pretend to be something, the test will declare whether you really are.
Right.
You know, you take a cedar tree, an evergreen tree. Other trees have to get rid of their leaves because they cannot handle the ice and the snow that would come. It would break their branches when they got all weighted down. But you look at a cedar tree, or they keep things year-round. You know why? Because when the snow and ice comes like that, it just lets it down, and it doesn't destroy it. And so my point is there's a You know, if a cedar tree would stand up and say, hey, I'm the cedar tree. Well then, okay, you're going to have to prove that you are, simply because winter's going to come, the test is going to come, and we're going to see whether or not you really are this evergreen tree, because winter is going to destroy you if you're just a make-believer.
Right.
If you're just an unbeliever, see? But if you really got the goods, the test will prove that it's the goods, and it'll be standing there when winter's over with, after the test is over. That's why I was talking about the pyramid was a testimony that Enoch built, because the flood was going to come. And Enoch built a testimony that once the flood came and went, that was still standing after judgment struck the earth.
Right.
And that's why the Bride of Christ, that is a type of the Bride of Christ, the New Testament church, because she's a testimony that's been built in this hour that's going to be remaining after judgment strikes this earth. After all this is shaken, she's still going to be standing there as a testimony when all other things will pass away and be washed away by the flood or the judgment. And so when you claim to be something, you're going to be tested. When we say we're a Christian, we're going to be tested whether or not we are a Christian.
Right.
You know, we've talked about this in the past, but the scripture's talking about the harlot church, the whore church and the harlot daughters, that she calls herself a prophetess. She claims to be the queen of heaven. She claims to be the bride of Christ. And so God says, okay, since you're saying that's who you are, since you're stepping up to the plate and you're claiming that, then I'm going to test you to the standard that's required for being the bride of Christ. And we find out that in that testing, he found her to be not faithful to Christ alone, and therefore she was a whore. She believed and received other doctrines, other seed, other than Christ's word himself, believing man's doctrine. And so the test proved that that system is a harlot system, a whore system, and then there's daughters that come along, and the test proves that they're the same. See? And so when you're going to say, well, I'm the guy that can be president, okay? You're going to be tested to see whether or not you can do it or not. And it's the way it is with all of us. And it's not, you know, it's just the process of time does these things sometimes. But rest assured, in God's program, he's going to make sure that you're going to be tested. And especially as a Christian, when you take the stand for the Lord, then here it comes. See?
Right.
We know that, the time of testing. The spoken word is what created all things, created heaven and earth, the universe. The spoken word created the original. When you take the spoken word and it created a tree, that's the original. And that tree, still unhybridized, can do everything that God said it could do. Like I used the cedar tree a while ago, for example. God says, this is a cedar tree and I have put into it everything that it needs in order to stay green year-round. It can handle every storm that comes, every wind that comes, and all those things, and it can handle it. But now, if you come along and you change the genetics of that tree, the characteristics of it's going to change. What it can do, what it can stand up to, it's all going to change because you've messed with it. And so the only way to get back to the original perfection of God is to go back to the original word that created in the first place and let the original word create again. Because if you don't go back to the original, you've got to hybrid something that man has messed with throughout the ages. And if it's been messed with, it cannot stand the test. See? So this is why we got to go back to the original word of God and not something that man has mixed with it or anything like that. We have to go back to God's original word, which he alone can vindicate.
Amen.
He shows it himself to be whether it's right or not. And so the original spoken word being the original seed created original creation. And all these quotes I'm going to read comes from "The World is Falling Apart." Brother Graham tells us, he says, the world was made by the word of God. It's framed together by the word of God, and that's the only thing that'll ever keep it together, is the word of God. For Hebrews said, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. People doubt the word of God, and the very dirt that they're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. The very seat that you're sitting on is the word of God made manifest. God speaks it, and it has to happen because it is the word of God. Now, the only thing that can keep it together, it'll never be the political system, it'll never be a UN, it'll never be any of these organizations, it'll be the Word of God that keeps the world together. That's the only thing that I can recommend today to keep the world from falling apart right now, is back to the Word of God. That's God's program always. And so, the spoken word was original. We find out that in heaven, you know, God had an economy in heaven and everything was lined out a certain way, and Lucifer come along and decided he wanted to do something different. Right? So the original way was right because God created it. But Lucifer comes along and says, I want to do things differently. He didn't want to stay in the position God made him. He wanted to exalt himself into something he shouldn't have been in. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. He had the eyes. So he does this. He wanted to do something different. And you know what God does? God says, okay. You know, have at it. Do what you want. Try to do what you want to do. Because the test will come and show that it won't work. Right. What can give us eternal life? What can make everything stand there and live throughout eternity? The universe and the planets and the stars and even human beings. What can make it all set right there and never pass away and never have a problem? The original. But when Satan comes along and says, I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm going to do something to change it. Now it can't stand forever like that because now it's not the original. It's been changed. So Satan says, I got a different idea. I'm going to do these things. And so now for all these thousands of years, Satan has been at his on his way, trying to produce, trying to do what he thinks was the best way, which would make him like the Most High. That's what his whole purpose was, to make him like the Most High. And so, rest assured, the test will show whether or not Satan can produce it. That's what God's letting him do. So, okay, we're going to see. And it's all going to come out when it's over with and show that Satan's idea was wrong. That the only way you can have the only way you can be like the Most High was to be the Most High. And the only way to have something like we know that God created Eden, and then we have this phrase we use where Satan is not a creator, but he's worked for 6,000 years to make his Eden. So we live in a world that is Satan's Eden, where he's taken what God has produced and hybridized and mixed it and perverted it to make something that suits him, but it won't stand. And the test will come and show that. And so that's what happened. That's what's going on. And so, you see, at the time of testing, everything will be tested to see where it stands. Brother Ram says in the same sermon, he said, every so often, the world gets in such a chaotic condition until there's nothing can help it. We've had several times these preludes, and we find out each time when it meets this condition, it causes people to start praying. They feel like everything has played itself out, as all of our systems, everything we have, played itself to the end, and it did it in the antediluvian world and so forth. Politics and other things just come to their end. There's no more of it, and I think that all that's done by God for the purpose to kind of rejuvenate, to kind of bring back. It has a way of renewing itself. And I just think it's a law of God that these things have to come to that place. And so Brother Graham tells there that ever so often throughout history we can see where man has got things so messed up or that everything's got in such a chaotic condition that you can't do anything with it. Nothing works. Nothing works, nothing fixes anything. And it gets so bad, and he says, God lets it, to the law of God, he just lets it get to that place because God's going to take that and use that as a time that he can bring a renewing. So he let everything get in the antediluvian time before the flood. Got so chaotic, so messed up that God said, I got to do something here, you know, it's all messed up. And so the flood came, and from all that chaos, he brought a renewing. And so we have these cycles where that's happened throughout time. That God uses the chaos to bring a renewing. The chaos is a product of what man has done and what Satan has done in God's plan in man and taken it to the place that it is. That's the chaos, but God is the answer to that chaos and brings a renewing and frees you from that chaos.
Right.
But before you can have, you know, we understand that before you can give birth to that child, you have to have the birth pains. Right? Before you can be alive in a new birth, you have to die out to the old. And you know, dying isn't easy and being birthed isn't easy. Transitioning from one life to the next is not easy, you know. I mean, it happens all the time, but you understand there is birth pains. There is a struggle when someone's dying or struggling, wanting to live. And that only shows that there is a land where they do live. And so you have to have a dying out before you can have a renewing. It's got to come to chaos before you can come to that place where God can renew it. And in that chaos, I don't know if I read it, but I will in just a moment if I didn't. People began to pray. I did read it. But people began to pray when it comes to this place where they realize this is done. There's nothing helping. Nothing works anymore. It's so chaotic. And they begin to realize, we got to pray. God is the only one that can help us here. Because we're done for. And so this is what he tells us. That he gets to that place. And that's when men begin to pray. Because man sees it and says, we realize it's done, played out. Everything the government has been able to do that was anything good has played out. It's gotten to the place they can't produce anything. The medical system can't produce anything that's 100% good. You know, no matter where you go, whatever it is, outside of the Word of God, we've come to the place, and this is what he's talking about. I come to the place to realize nothing works anymore down here. We got to get something from heaven.
Right.
And that's what he's telling us there. And so we have come to such a day now. We've come to such a day now. And now remember, Brother Rand being a prophet, he could see things back then that you and I didn't see. You and I, you know, even in my young childhood, going to the Pentecostal church and things, you know, I remember when businesses weren't open on Sunday. And, you know, I remember there was still some resemblance of holiness in all of those churches and all that. I remember that. But even before that, he was declaring it and saying it's done. Even in that day where we thought, and there was tent revivals and things like that, and they're all sweeping the nation and all this stuff going on and miracles and all that, and he's standing there telling you, America has done, passed up their mercy. Their grace is over with, and they'll never come back. It'll go downhill after this. We didn't see that at that time. You talk to people, they didn't, you know, what's this guy talking about? But he saw it because him being a prophet, he could see. He knew what was laying there. And as I said last week, if you didn't, wasn't here last week, go back and listen to it, because I showed all the quotes where Brother Branham was telling us. They're going to vote in a man that's the wrong man, and they're going to use a crooked machine to do it, a crooked voting machine to do it. And all the different things that he talked about that he was experiencing and bringing before us is now back before us again in a greater fashion. Because we are experiencing what he said, because now we've come back into that cycle that he said was there, and we would be moving into that cycle. He spoke of that. We're coming into that cycle where now we are experiencing exactly the stuff that's laying on tape that he told us. And I could go through those things, but I won't. But if you want to know, you can ask me about it, or you can go back and get it on different sermons, because we've talked about it in the past. So we're now come to that place where he saw it and he said, you know what? We've come to that time. We've come to another time where everything's played out. Politics, the whole nine yards. And yet we didn't see it, but now we do.
Right.
And he said, it's times like that when people begin to pray and say, God, you know, because they realize nothing down here helps and works anymore.
Right.
And so today is such a time as that. I'll read some more quotes here. Same sermon. World is falling apart. He said, all of our policies, both in religion, or all of our politics, both in religion and both in federal life and so forth, is polluted. We polluted our worship with man-made design fashions, and fashioned and designed a man-made to fit every cult that's on the face of the earth. Everyone's got their own idea again. It must become like it was in the days when God raised up a mighty prophet, Isaiah, that said, your sacrifices and things have become a stench in my nose. Years ago, we used to find people in deep sincerity and worship. And today it's become a big glamour of Hollywood and just some kind of a trained music and women up on the platform with their clothes so tight, and like the skin on the outside almost, and dancing around all over the platform, no sincerity, almost making it just an outright ridiculous shame, and professing Christianity. I wonder if our offering hasn't become kind of a stench in the nose of God. Our differences. The hour, the world is now falling apart. All systems are falling apart. Why is it? It's got to come that way. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for, what we should be looking for, if we're not. And all these earthly things has to give way to it. See, God has it. There is a city whose builder and maker is God. And it's coming, but before that can come, this has to go away. This has to fade away. All this down here, and everything we have our confidence in, it's got to fade away, because if we have confidence in that, we can't receive what He's got coming, bringing us. We've got to come to the place where we no longer trust in those things, and we turn to Him, and then we're going to get the blessing from Him of what He's got coming. Science can't give you life. Education can't give you life. Denomination can't give you life. Schools can't give you life. Nations can't give you life. Churches can't give you life. It's only God that can give you life. He's the only one that can do it, because He's God alone. There's no one that can tend. Yeah? That's why I like that song. Nobody. Nobody can. No, he's in a class of His own. Amen. So, today is such a day like that. It's so polluted. No government. We could have a change of government, a change of leadership. It's not going to change it. You can have a new law, a new tax, a new vaccine, a new school program. It's not going to change it, because it's played itself out. We've seen that. It has played itself out. Man has tried to make life, I think maybe we mentioned this before, but in discussions I've talked with other people about this, a man comes along and he tries to make, you know, when man fell in sin, there's a curse that comes with that. By the sweat of your brow and all the things that come because of the fall of sin. A man comes along and tries to reduce the pain and the sorrow of that fall of making life easier. You don't have to work by the sweat of your brow anymore. You can sit at a desk in air conditioning or whatever. You know, and so science and everything is developed in such a way all to try and loosen that burden of what sin has done. And it don't work. I think a man still needs to work by the sweat of his brow. He needs to at least sweat sometime. You know, just for cleaning the pores in his skin or something, you know. It's to get things out of your system that should be out of your system. But man comes along with a system and every other thing that you can come up with besides what God provided way is, thinking that it's a better way, and it's not. And so man comes along and he has done this. Man does this by biting off of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In a tree of knowledge of both good and evil. I've said so many times, and when you bite off of that tree, it's got some good stuff on it, right? It's got things that are good, because the scripture said it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you bite off there thinking you get good, but when you take that bite to get the good, there's bad in there also. Because you can't have, because it is a tree of the knowledge, and the fruit of it produces good and evil. And so this is the thing. God never told us to go make schools. He said, go preach the gospel. Is there anything wrong with a school? No, there's nothing wrong with a school. It's good. It can be good. We need to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, right? Math. I don't know why they call it that. I'd rather call it math. But we need those things, right? And so, yeah, look how good that is. But look at all the bad that gets put in there with that. You know, so man takes something, he's like, well, I'm going to have this, and yeah, this is good, but because man is messing with it, the bad's in there too. It's impossible for it to come any other way. And so he bites off of that tree of good, and so you get the evil also. Just how many times I've, and I know you've probably done this, but you go to the doctor and they give you a medicine, you go get medicine at the pharmacy, and Brother Branham told us this, and I found it to be true myself. He fix you, give you a medicine that's to fix something, and it actually hurts something else, tears something else up. And I had a doctor give me some medicine years ago, and I took it like 2 days, and I raised up in the bed one the second morning after taking it the second time, third morning, and my nose started bleeding. Just pouring. So I thought, huh. So I went and got that big old long thing they have, and you have to get a magnifying glass to see it. Watch the deception. Going down through there, sure enough, nosebleeds was one of the side effects. Now this was supposed to help something I had wrong, but look what else it was going to do. And you see these commercials again. I haven't in a long time, but last time I have seen it was in restaurants. They, yeah, you know, get this because it'll help that, and it might cause it, you might die. And you're listening. I go, who would buy that stuff? Who would get that stuff? There's more danger in the side effects than is what you're trying to fix. What is it? That tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because man thinks he can come up with a medicine that's better than God's medicine. You follow me?
Right.
And he's duped into the ignorance of thinking he can provide a way other than God's way. And he's blinded to the fact that when you swim in that ocean he creates, you get sharks. You know, and that's just the way it is. And so God lets those things play out to the place where we begin to see as believers, maybe the rest of the world won't, but we as believers begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm not swimming in that anymore. Because that's death. That is not God's provided way. And no matter what they say and how much they push it to be right and accurate and all that, it's got death in it. And as a Christian with the Holy Spirit, I can see that. God is allowing me to see that this thing is played out and this is not the answer. So what do you do when that time comes? You start changing your focus. You stop trusting in these man-made systems and man-made world that's falling apart, and you get serious with trusting God and saying, you know what? Going forward, he's going to be the one. Because if I look over at that, I think, oh, well, no, maybe this might work. This might work. This president might get it, or this medicine might get rid of it, you know? And we're stupid, ignorant, I'll say ignorant, to ignore, ignorant. We're ignorant to think that we can say, oh, but this guy's going to do it for us, or this vaccine's going to do it for us. And what I'm trying to show you is that that's the knowledge of tree of knowledge of good and evil. And yeah, they might have a vaccine, but I guarantee you there's bad stuff in there that they're poking in there that ought not be there. And you get a president, you think, oh, he's so great, but behind the scenes there's something that's not exactly right that does not have the benefit of Christians to the full extent in it. You see what I'm saying? And we are ignorant if we put our trust in that. And every time we look at those things, we think, oh, you know, and they just give it a while, and all of a sudden you realize it crumbles. You're like, oh, what about the voting system now? Do you really have confidence in that? Prophet told us this way. He said, I read the quotes last week, he said, and they even proved that the machines were crooked and didn't do anything about it. Because it's all gone. The whole thing. Even if it wasn't crooked. See? Because we've come to the end where God is saying, you need to look to me. Because as long as you're looking to there, you're not going to have peace in your heart. And you're not going to be in tune with what I'm about to do. So he's telling you, get your mind off of those things and get them over. And so he just lets the test come. And the test begins to show that, hey, my way of doing this don't work. My way of doing this don't work. I thought I knew how to be a good daddy over my home. Not without God. But if you try to be a good daddy over your home without God, you're going to mess up. And you find out it's going to get so messed up that eventually you're going, I got to have God. Or if it's a mother, or if it's whatever it is. I have no problem with having a government that takes care of things that needs to be taken care of. But if they're trying to do it without God, it's a failure. And it will be. See? Because we live in his universe. We're standing on the very word of God made manifest, and people deny it. a system that's going to say, like, I know how to take care of America's problems without God. You see what I mean? That's how bad it is. And a prophet tried to show us, even in this world falling apart, preached it several times, to let us know. And we didn't see it then, but we see it now. Yeah. It has played out. And now's the time where we've got to look at that and realize what it is so we can turn to God. So man is just that tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's failed and it will always fail. The tree of life is the only tree that we should be getting off of. So Brother Brim said, at times like that, men begin to pray. We begin to pray. Obviously, the wicked don't, but Christians begin to pray because they realize something wrong. They realize there's no hope in these things. But in order for you to start praying, in order for that to happen, you know, getting right with God starts with repentance. And repentance means, first of all, you've got to recognize what's wrong. You've got to recognize where you've made mistakes, where you've done wrong. And what I'm saying, I say that because it applies to individual life, but what I'm saying is we've got to come to the place where we realize it was wrong to put our confidence in these things to begin with. So before you can ever truly turn away from man-made systems and having hope in a system that, well, maybe it will, maybe we will get this. This election, what we want, or maybe we'll get a vaccine, or maybe we will this, you know, we've got to come to a place where we realize it's wrong to even put the confidence in that and to get a hope and a going on in that, and I'm guilty of it too. See? We got to quit doing that, and until that happens, we'll never truly repent of that and say, God, forgive me for thinking that man was going to do something here and everything was going to be great for us. Because the prophet told us that these cycles come, and it's a law of God. That why? Because they've gotten off of His word. It's a system that's anti-word, and He lets it play out, and it can't produce what He does because it's not Him. It's not His word. It's got to come to an end. It has to come to chaos and say, God, forgive me for even thinking that it could do it. Start repenting of that, and when you truly repent from that, now you can truly pray and seek God and say, I'm looking to Him, and I'm not putting my confidence in those things no more. That's what He's telling us. And it's just it's a natural law of God that it comes through. And these things have to come to their end. If the Lord tarries, your flesh, like this young man right here that I told him the other day, he's muscles, and he looks really good, you know, that's as far as, and I, but you know, if the Lord tarries, those muscles that he has, that body that is so fit, if the Lord tarries, at some point, he cannot put trust in that body no more, because it's going to leave. He's going to leave that body. And we're all coming to that place. There's an appointed time for us all to leave this world. At some point, this right here, I will not be able to trust it anymore. I realize that each day. Those of us that are older and you have a new pain each day almost, you realize, uh-oh, it's happening to me too. And there's an appointed time where I know, and when that time comes, when I have to leave this, this can't help me where I'm going, and you can't help me where I'm going. I'm going to be on my own by myself if I don't have Christ. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, we might as well believe and trust Him now rather than waiting till then. And we might as well believe and trust Him now on the scene of everything in the world. Go ahead and do it now and get away from trying to trust us, because it's going to play out eventually. Yeah. Right? It's going to. Sin in the world, sin in this right here. That's why that even the most precious, believing person of this message, they still go by way of the grave, because sin still has that effect on there, because it's going to play out until that time comes where God says death is swallowed up in victory.
Right.
You see?
Amen.
So we all come to that place. So you as an individual, you think, well, I'm going to do this and I'll fix the things I've done wrong. You're just fooling yourself if you're going to do it without God. And so you just, and that's why I said, I don't have a problem with the government if they would just believe God and let God work through that system, but they don't. So I just have to let them play out. Let them do what they're going to do. Because I know where they're headed, because the Bible don't tell us what they're going to do. He's already told us what is influencing them and where they're headed. And there's nothing we're going to do that's going to stop that, because God says it's got to play out because it's a godly system. Let it play out to its end. And as it plays out to its end, it's going to do evil things. We know that. It always has, a system without God. So we have to believe that and realize, but listen, that has to come to that before we can have that birth into that kingdom we're looking for. It has to come to a hard time and a birthing time to birth us, like Brother Ram said, birth pains. World War I, World War II, they're going to have another war. It's birth pains. Every world war was a pain going to deliver. And so we know that's what's coming. And so we have to just believe and stop looking at those things. And so in order to repent, we have to come to the realization that it was wrong to look to those things in the first place and start looking up. So God's going to shake everything, and the only thing left is going to be His Word. It's like building on the house on the rock, is the parable there in the Scriptures. And Jesus said, "He that hears these words of mine, His words will pass away." So if you hear His words and you obey them, you're like a man who builds a house on a rock. You build a house on a rock, and a rock is revelation. You build it on a rock, and the floods come, rains beat against the house, but the rains cannot wash away the rock the house is built on. It's got a good foundation. It's a foundation of the Word of God. Can't wash it away, because there is a flood coming. There is a storm coming. There is the storms of life, but there, you know, the storm of life at the end of our road, but there is a storm before us. We know it. It's coming. And so that storm is there, but as that storm comes, when it comes to the man or the family that's built upon the rock of the Word of God, that storm is not, there's things it cannot do. It can beat against that house, it can make it look like it's good, but it can't wash it away if it's on the right foundation. But if you're all on something else, well, then the flood just takes it away. And you remember what I said last week, you know, the pyramid built with rock as a testimony, and it stood the flood. But all those other buildings and all those different things, the Tower of Babel, they built one, but they didn't make it out of rock. They didn't make it out of revelations of the Word. They made it out of brick. Man-made substance, where they take the minerals and the creation of God and pervert it. Instead of taking God's provided way to build upon the rock, they use man's provided way to build with brick, and it doesn't work. You see, that's the contrast. And that's man's doctrine is brick, but God's Word is rock. And if you build upon the rock, the revelation of God's Word, nothing can harm you. Nothing can take those things away from you. But if you're not, if you're on something else, then the floods come. They will come. And when it does, it wipes it away.
Amen.
That's the teaching of the Scriptures. So God's going to shake everything. He's going to let the floods come. He's going to let everything play out. And when it does, the only thing that's going to be left standing is that which is built upon the rock. Only the Word of God. And like I said, it was ignorant for us to even believe to begin with that there was some other way than God's provided way. So it's crashing. But while the world is crashing, we want to stand on the Word of God. And Brother Branham tells us that at the end time, all the churches, there'll be a system rise up, and all the churches, Protestants, they will think, well, I'll go ahead and serve God, and I'll do it within the framework of this Catholic system that's going to oversee everything in the World Council of Churches. And he said, you'd be going to the slaughter. But he said, those who absolutely resist that and stand outside from that and are not part of that, he said, they will be physically bereft. You know what that means? You'll be things taken away from you. Physical things. And so, you know, like the mark of the beast, you know, we understand what the true mark of the beast is, spiritually speaking, but you know, there is a physical side that can come to that also, just because of unbelief, and the spiritual side could come to physical mark. And what does that physical mark, what does it say it does? Those who will not receive that mark, those who will not go be part of it, become part of that system and support that system, what does it do? They come after the physical. You cannot buy or sell. We're going to make it to where you go out, because this is what Satan does. And I mentioned this last week. You know, this is what he is. He's going to make it hard on you. You're either going to, like we said, Nimrod was the first one to go out and practice war. He was the first one, and he began to create a religious system, the Tower of Babel, and he went out there and he made other peoples come and worship, a forced unity under his religion, and he went out and killed and murdered and forced to make people come in, and that's denominations. That's the Catholic Church. That's the system. And so that's in them, and the scripture said he gave them a space to repent, and they repented not. So it's still in their heart today to physically go out and make people come into that system, and they will produce a system, a mark, that where they can't buy or sell. He'll take away the goods, the things, the natural, put the pressure on them, so they'll come in by force. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't force anybody. He's a gentleman. There he is in all his glory and all his virtue, saying come, but you have to come willingly. But you see, Satan in his system wants to force it and force people. And so as they stand against those things and not part of this system, as people realize these things have played out and I can't go that route, I can't trust in that, then you become a problem to that system. And so then that system has the nature of Lucifer in there, then the only thing they know to do is to begin to move and work and try and make it hard on you and come after you. Let me give you one that's recent in the news that's happened. Oh, you're pro-life? We'll go to the place you work for and we'll attack them, and they'll fire you because of the pressure we're putting on them. They'll fire you to get at you. So you physically are bereft. You don't have a job. You can't get a job. Oh, if you supported this particular one, we're going to put you on a list, and your future employers may not want to hire you because of thus and thus. See what I'm saying? The seeds of it laying there, because we're going to force you physically, and this is why the prophet told you, there's a squeeze coming. You've got to prepare yourself for this. Because if what we're looking to is these things in the man's realm, it's going to hurt when that time comes. And you might find yourself in a place you don't want to be. See? But if you get your mind off of those things, realize it's played out, and turn to the Word of God, begin to look to Him as these things unfold, then whenever they start yanking this out from underneath you, yanking that out from underneath you, closing your church doors and making it where you can't even go buy groceries or something like that, you understand what I'm saying? Because there is a place where we're taken from here, right? Where is before that fully comes. But you see, when they start pulling that out, it won't hurt. You can have a hold of something in your hand. Jordan can have a hold of a rope and squeeze it really tight. And if I yank that way harder than he can hold it, it's going to hurt him when I pull it out of his hand. But if he holds on to it loosely, if he says, you know what? Yeah, I have to go to the grocery store once a week, or some people go every day, whatever it is. Yeah, I got to do that. But I'm not going to trust in that. I'm not going to hold that tight and say, that's my hope. My job. Yeah, I'll get money, and that's how we go provide for my family. But I'm not going to put all my trust in that, because they're coming. That's coming under scrutiny. That is. And some of you know what I'm talking about, what I've told you, that I won't say it out, got here on live recording, of what you see happening in businesses. They're coming after the believers. And so if you hold on and say, oh, but I've got to have a job, then when they put the crunch on you, you're gonna submit to the crunch, so that you become what they want you to be, a Christian who's silenced. See what I'm saying? So we are at that time. It's Satan's job to try and make you not realize that it is, but we are at that time where these things are folding, and they're unfolding, and they're coming. And it's you know, maybe this isn't in light of what the full squeeze can be, maybe it'd be even hard to say this is the beginning of that squeeze, but it's in there. It's coming. You can see it working. And so it's all playing out. And God lets it come that way. He lets it come to that spot. So we've got to have confidence in Him, begin to look to Him. But before that can happen, we've got to repent of that and say, Lord, I am sorry for putting trust in things other than Your Word. And start preparing for that squeeze. You know, in a kingdom, whenever... You know why Rome did what they did? The way they killed them, they crucified them, and the things is such a horrible death? Because if there was somebody who was against Rome, Rome would go out there by force, take them and crucify them and kill them people with the most horrible death that you could do to strike fear into everybody else so that everybody else would line right up and do exactly what Rome wanted. Rome, which is now a church. Who has daughters. Follow me? And you may say, well, I don't see that yet. You will. And if you don't see it when it all plays out, it's because you're part of it. But you will see. But they will move in such a way that everybody has to line up with that or else. Because it's Satan. It's him. Right there in it. And it's in a church system. Protestant and Catholic, it's in government system, it's in politics, it's in the schools, it's in the entire mentality of everything going on in the medical system. It's all right there. He is deeply embedded in all of that. And you're being told, line up. Accept the new mentality. Accept the new ideas about race and about all these genders and all about. Accept it. Line up or else. Now, you know, paying attention, that's exactly what's going. So it's beginning to unfold on us. And all I'm telling you is that the world is falling apart. God said these things have to come to this. He's letting them play out to that point. And as they come to the very end, they're in their death throes, they're grasping, trying to hold on to something, and it's all falling apart. They're going to go crazy, doing crazy things while that's happening. And for us as believers, don't be shaken. Don't look at that and say, oh, that's my hope. It's not your hope. He has already told us that's not your hope in your stay. Those things, just let them play out and trust Him. And when they begin to do their cowardly deed, God will snatch his bride away. Right? I don't know what level that will be. I don't know how far they'll be able to go. But we've got the promise that He, during a time of trouble, He will hide us. In His pavilion. He'll hide us in the secret of His tabernacle in a time of trouble. Brother Rand preached that as a rapture text. You're like, oh, rapture, oh yeah, rapture, rapture. And he goes and you read Psalm 27. It's like, in a time of trouble. The enemy's coming at me. They're trying to eat up my flesh. They're trying to do, they're gathered all around me and all that stuff. He knew what he was talking about. Because when they come and do all that, He's going to make them stumble and fall. See? And here they come. So, as the scripture said, when you see this, you know, some men's hearts are fading for fear for looking at the things that are coming on the earth. But for us, He said, look up, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. He did it. Just always said, don't fear him who can kill the body. You need to fear the one who can kill body and soul. See, don't fear man, what man can do to you, because that's all he can do is touch this. But he can't touch your soul. He can't harm you. So inside a kingdom, when a kingdom begins to build, if there's people in that kingdom that are contrary to the establishment, they have to go after them because they're a problem. Right? They have to. And so because of laws, Brother Rem said, because the laws and stuff on the books, they have a desire to do that, but they can't because the laws have held them back. They can't just come out and start crucifying people like they did back when, because the laws are kind of in, but those are going to disappear. And the way they make them disappear is because first they begin to criticize the opposing view that's inside this kingdom they're building. They begin to criticize that, then they begin to demonize it. And then they get the masses of the people to believe these people are the problem. They're the problem. That's what they did to the Jews over in Germany. These people are the problem. and create a system to exterminate them. So these people are the problem. These Christian believers, they're the problem. And when I say that, it's not denomination. They're not going to be after them, because they done got them. But there's a group there, a certain group of people, and they're going to be the problem. And so they have to criticize it first. And if that don't get them to silence and shut up, then they'll start demonizing to get everybody else to believe they're the problem. We've got to come after that. So they get the masses to believe what they want to do, and then they do what they want to do because the masses now back it up through deception, through lies, through false advertising and all that. They get them to believe. It's all unfolding. That's what they do. And then they crucify them. And remember, if they have to, they've done it in the Bible, they will make laws that will make the Christians illegal. They'll make, in other words, it, like Daniel, he's praying every day. So you know what they did? Oh, this guy, we can't have this. We can't have this. So what did they do? They went and got a law put in place that you couldn't do that, because they knew Daniel would do it. So they made a law where it was illegal to pray, illegal to worship God. And so they, if they have to, they'll criticize, demonize, make laws to say what they're doing is wrong. Go get them. That's what happens. And we would be like, and I just don't really happen, but it'd be like an ostrich sticking her head in the sand to ignore it if we thought it wasn't that day. Surely we can wake up. I had thought many times, 2020, we thought, man, when we went into this year, we're like, and I heard other preachers, we're going into 2020, God's going to override, we're going to see all kinds of glorious stuff, you know, everything's going to be wonderful, we're going to have great revelation. What has 2020 done to us? 2020 has caused us to look and say, that stuff is played out. There's nothing left. It's gone. So now we're just now getting to the place where Brother Branham was when he preached the world was falling apart. Right. We're just now really getting to the place where we realize they're going to put a man in that's wrong. He'll be Catholic and do it by a crooked voting system. We're just now getting there. You see? But we're here. And so now it's time to turn away from that and start praying and saying, God, we're in your hands. Let them play out. And I know they're coming. But I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with your word. And I'm leaving it up to you. And you're going to be my help, my hope, and stay. When he said they shall by no means harm you, well, they crucified some of them. And they killed almost all the apostles. So they were, he's not talking about that. They might physical, but it can't touch your soul.
Right.
It cannot touch your soul. And so they have to do that. And if they have to make laws, they will. They make laws, make it illegal. I mean, look at it. Years ago, already played out. Somebody had conviction enough to say, I'm not going to make a birthday cake or a wedding cake. And look what that person had to pay. Mm-hmm. The price they had to pay those people. Because that's where it's going. Man. So they made laws, you know, and different ones with Daniel and the lion's den and all that. And they did all that stuff to get at Daniel and get at the Christians and so forth. Get at the three Hebrew children. They did all that. But it all turned around that the very thing they put in place is what hung themselves. You know, Haman. He's after Mordecai, and the very gallows that he built that he was going to put Mordecai on, that's what he wound up on. So they're creating a system, and they think, oh, we got it. We're coming. We're going to have this utopia. We're going to snuff out all these Christians that believe in Jesus as their Messiah. And everything they do is just put it in a place where it's going to hang themselves. Yeah. And God will purge the system by the very thing they do. Exactly what it is. So God will use their actions to bring them, take them down. You know, God has to, I'll say it this way, God has to let the sting operation play out before he can actually make arrest. Because if you go in and you got, say, for instance, I know a guy that got caught selling drugs, caught on film selling drugs to agents, to police. That was done. He went to jail. He went to prison. But if they would have said, if he'd have walked up there and then stopped just shy of handing drugs to an undercover police officer, but he walked up there and stopped just shy, and they rushed him and tackled him, then they could say, well, he wasn't going to do it. You know, you could say, well, he wasn't ready. But once you play it all out, once you've done the deed you want to do, then they can get you. So God has to let Satan do everything that's in his heart to do. He lets the system go and do everything that's in their heart to do. And once they've done it, once it's clear, then he can make the arrest. And I've often thought, you know, that you have the Gog and Magog before the millennium, and then you have it at the end. And it's always been interesting to hear that when Satan comes out of that bottomless pit, after the millennium, and he's the beast and false prophet already taken and cast in the lake of fire before the millennium, and Satan is put into a bottomless pit or with chain on it or whatever, chain of servitude. He can't do anything, and 1,000 years of peace go by, and after that 1,000 years, Satan is loosed out of that time, and what does he do? You'd think he would have repented. You'd think that he thought, man, I've spent 1,000 years because I was wrong. I'm going to change my tune. No, he came out and did it. The only thing that he could do, and God let him do it to prove that he can't repent. That's just my thought on it. What does he do? He goes out and he gathers together people to go up and make war against God. That's what he did then, and it's what he does at the end. Showing that he can't change. He can't repent. There's been opportunities upon opportunities for people and government and all this stuff to get this, and they ain't done it. They've not done it because they can't, because it's not even the right system. It's not even Christ. And so that's why it is. So God has to let all that play out, and he'll let them do everything they want to do, and he's doing it on film. And once they're done, then he says, all right, you're gone. Because he lets it, you know, he'll warn a man. But in that, he's not going to force that man to change his ways. He's going to warn a man, and then once he warns that man, when that man goes on and does the wrong, then judgment comes. See? So he has to let this world do what it's going to do, even though we believers are set in him. So, real close to ending here. Verse 28 of the scriptures we've read here. Look at what it says. Everything's going to be shaken. Okay? Everything is going to be shaken, both in the physical realm and the church realm and all the doctrines and all the beliefs and teachings. Everything's going to be shaken, and even your spiritual imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and effects are going to be shaken by all of this stuff, and the only thing that's going to be left standing is the word that's in the soul that you got to connect to, the revelation and who that is, and it's got to have enough power in your life to go beyond the spirit of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. Enough strength from the soul based upon the word of God, who is a believer and not a doubter, because that's where it is. You're either a believer or a doubter in your soul. But you got to have enough of that you can say no to all these things that are going to come on the earth to try and deceive you in your spirit realm, to make you imagine things, think things, all that, and also everything that might come upon you in pain and sorrows in the flesh when you're physically bereft. All that stuff comes. What is it? It is a test of the Word of God. And the Word of God in Christ Jesus couldn't fail, and the Word of God in your soul can't fail, but it will be tested to prove whether or not it's really the Word or not. See, that's the test of time, a time of testing. And so it's all going to be shaken. But Paul is telling us here, and I'm wrapping this up, Paul is telling us here, we didn't come to that mountain where we're to be destroyed. That even Moses, the prophet of God, was fearful. We've not come to that. We've come to a different mountain. We've come to a mountain. Actually, we didn't read it, but let's just go up there and read it. And she don't have to bring it up if she doesn't want to, but she can. Verse 21, it said, and so terrible was the sight. And Moses said, I exceed in faith and trembles. Talking about that mountain where God came down on Sinai. But ye are not come to Mount Sinai, but ye are come to Mount Sinai, unto the city of the living God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then the scripture we read was seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they spake not, escape not as who was against the one who spoke from earth, how are you going to escape if you resist the one who speaks from heaven? So he's showing you there, we're having a shaking time, but it's not under condemnation of the law. It's not under the fire of God to judge you, but it's under the fire of God, under grace, that can do these things. And just let me go through this. So it's under the fire of God that can bring you to it's a church of the firstborn, of those that are written to the judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect. So he's explaining there, we've come to a different thing. We've come to a mountain where the church of God is, where just men are, they're made perfect. The spirits of just men are made perfect, where God's people are, and where Jesus Christ is there as a mediator, and where it's the kingdom of heaven, and it's not a place to be fearful. It's not under the law that's going to condemn you. It's under a place where everything's great and everything can be fine, because you're under the blood and you're in that kingdom where Christ is the mediator. This is what kind of mountain we've come to. New Jerusalem. Not that one back there, but New Jerusalem. Mount Sinai. Not Mount Sinai, but Mount Sinai. We've come to that. And since it's like that, since we shouldn't be fearful. See, this is what he's trying to say. Since we're not, we shouldn't be fearful, here's what we should do. Seeing that we have come to a kingdom that passes not away. Let me read it. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Because everything's being shaken, but he's saying we've come to a place that cannot be shaken. And seeing we have come to that place that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And so Paul is telling us here, we've come to this place and God is still a consuming fire, but under the mercy and grace, and to the place where the spirits of just men can be made perfect, and Jesus is the mediator of the covenant, under this, because we've come to that, let us serve God acceptably, and let us have reverence to him, and let us have a godly fear, because he's a consuming fire. And just know that while you're here at this mountain, if you're still under the law and you're still sinning and you haven't come to Christ, then you better be afraid. But if you've come to this, relax and let that fire of God purge and burn and do what it needs to do. Let it purge out of you the things that need to be purged out of you. And let it purge out of the earth the systems that needs to be purged. And while he does that, it's going to be hard on you physically. Right? Just know that where you're at, let God be that consuming fire. Let him shake heaven and earth. Let him do all that, but relax, because you're in his fold.
Right.
And it might be rough on you physically, and you might fight spiritual battles, but everything's fine. Just always remember, he's still a consuming fire, and he wants to consume anything out of your life that's not like him. And he's going to shake everything in the church, in spirit realm, and clean you with his consuming fire. But he's also going to shake the earth and consume it with the fire. See? What a time we live in. It's glorious. Fearful? Sure. Sure it is. Because it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But not so much if you're a believer. A reverence, a godly reverence, to realize we stand in the balance. And all we have to trust in is this Mount Sinai experience, this Holy Spirit in our life that has put us under grace and taken us from the judgment of the law to put us under grace. That's all we have to stand for. But being what it is, let us rejoice and maintain that godly reverence, godly fear, and serve him acceptably. Make sure you're serving him acceptably. Not serving him the way the world wants, serving him the way denominations want, but serve him acceptably by his word, and maintain the fact that you have a godly reverence and a godly fear toward him, and know that it will be rough on you and to whatever degree it needs to be to get you where you need to be to go into His kingdom. You follow me?
Amen.
So may the Lord richly bless you as the musicians come. God bless you. As you come, I'm going to read one more quote. From the same sermon. For we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. All these other things are falling apart. America's falling apart. Europe is falling apart. Asia's falling apart. All the world is falling apart. But we are in a kingdom, an eternal kingdom. It cannot be moved. Amen. Where, and he preached this just before Christmas. He said, where Christmas is every day. Amen. Living in the presence of the King. Glory. Don't have to guess about that. It's the truth. God's truth. God's complete truth. How I love Him for this. How good He is. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Our hearts to Him. Lord, we just come to the end of the service. We want to thank You for this time we've had together around Your Word. Realizing, Lord, that Your Word speaks. God, there is a plan that You have for redemption and bringing Your people to You. And all these things that are playing out in this world, they're not a surprise to You. They might surprise us. We might be surprised in our flesh and astonished. But Lord, I'm asking God that You'd help us just to tune into Your Word and realize that these things must be, Lord, that our confidence and peace and comfort would come from You. Lord, knowing that You promised that You'd never leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, we just trust You and ask God that You would continue to move in our hearts with Your Word. Continue to prepare us, Lord, for the days ahead. And we ask God that You would just allow us to walk with You. We know You promised You would be with us. So we just trust You now. We ask God You touch every life in this room, that You would solidify this Word into their hearts and give them an unction of Your Holy Spirit to stay immersed in Your presence and in Your Word. Help us, Lord, as we live in an hour that is made to defy all that. But I ask, God, that You just continue to woo our hearts, and may we find the times and the places to steal away and be in Your presence, to be in Your Word, and to speak to You in prayer. Help us, Lord, to lose the confidence we have in anything man-made, because it's all passing away, because that is not Your kingdom. And we're asking, God, that You help us to focus on what really is Your kingdom, and let that be what we're focused upon. Hey, we love You, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing and worship for a little bit. Thank you.